Hello, fellow enjoyers of the AFL. We've got a full squad back today.
We're back, baby.
Spender's back in the building.
That was weird what I did with my voice, man.
Yeah, no, it was a bit. It was a bit. But now, look, it's good to be back. We're going to talk about the AFL winners and losers, you know, of the trade period and of the free agency and whatnot. But we'll start off with the biggest wankers of this draft, and that was the Bulldogs. And making us wait till the last 15 minutes.
Stuff these guys.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But anyway, no. So they deserve that title. yeah. No. Anyway, we'll edit that out. No.
Are we going then? Let's just start from the bottom of the alphabet, so they can go first.
No. We're gonna do it old fashioned. You know, from Adelaide down, and we're gonna start with a good one here because I actually really like the three players that they brought in. Good depth pieces in coming. Neil Bullen and Pete Ling, and they didn't give a hell of a lot.
No, they didn't
either. So, especially like I guess Cumming was free. Pete Ling was. They gave a second, and then they received the third and fourth future back.
A player that was like in demand by multiple clubs, right?
Yeah,
and had a really good second half of the season. Broke out a little bit. Been a point of difference in the midfield, which is what the Crows need. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have to pay much for him.
Yeah, no. I think a lot of it's got to do with the fact that they could have easily walked into the preseason or the rookie draft. And, you know, that would have been just fine for him. But look, regardless, they've managed to get, you know, three, you know, solid role players into the club that'll, you know, push out, you know, some of the random fringe players that we didn't really rate that highly for him. And now all of a sudden, you know, they really should be contending for a top eight position. Look.
Yeah, well, I felt like they underperformed this year. Mm. But you put three best 22 players straight in, as you said. Mm-hmm. You get more improvement from Rankin, full season in the midfield again. Someone like Jake Soligo improves further. Thilthorpe in the forward line. And you start to see the pieces kind of come together. So I quite like what they've done. Mm. And I do see them as being top eight contender next year based on that.
I think the most important thing they did was getting Cumming to commit before the Houston trade was finalized, because Port would have been interested. And I think they were reported to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So getting that done before that fiasco sort of unfolded, because Port, let's say the Houston trade happened earlier on, they would have come really hard.
Yeah.
I don't know in the end how that all worked out and if there's like, you know.
But they got Rory Atkins, man. That's life for life.
We're going to talk about that. Don't worry. I've got things to say. Well done to the Crows. I agree with you guys. Like, they just need their star players to really carry, and then they've now filled out some of their, you know, spots 19 to 22 on the list with definitely more consistent contributors. Like, obviously, Neil Bullen as well, underrated.
Yeah, it's just, it's going to be interesting now. How do you fit? They've got a lot of half forward / inside mid types like Neil Bullen, Rankin, Pete Ling, Keys. They've got a lot of dudes, you know, even Rochelle used to be pinch hits in the middle a little bit. There's a lot of guys in a similar position, but that seems like a position of need these days. Mm. Like, all these teams are playing with, although like the winning teams are playing with, you know, high energy forward type players. So I think it's probably a good position to have depth in, but it'll be interesting to see how they all sort of,
I think they need to just decide who's the three that plays the bulk of the center bounces and then who are the guys that are thrown in there.
Yeah.
Like a Rochelle thrown in there. Mm. Rankin showed enough signs to be more or less full-time mid.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think Pete Ling gets a pretty solid gig. Maybe someone like Matt Crouch gets pushed out. They like to push out Matt Crouch.
Yeah,
they like that. Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do like trying to get rid of the guy, even though he's been pretty solid for him. And actually, another little thing to add with how much of a winner they are, they still have pick, was it four or five?
Yes.
So they've got all these players and they haven't, you know, lost, you know, their big, you know, chip in the draft. Mm. So look, that could end up being a Draper, and all of a sudden they have another gun South Australian who complained the guts.
That's another mid though,
It's another mid. I know, but look, I think if he's available, you'd think they'd go and do it.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have enough gun midfielders, man.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, but no, anyway, big winners for us. Should we move on to the next team?
Yeah.
Right, Brizzy.
Mm. Look, I know.
This is what you expect from a premiership team.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So look, it seems like nothing, but really it's just consolidating the Ashcroft and Marshall, you know, bids. They lose Sharp, which, you know, I think it's not a huge loss for them, but, you know, could be a shrewd pickup for Melbourne.
Yep.
Look, can we really call them winners? Like, I think it's just like, you know,
they're winners because they get Ashcroft no matter what.
They achieve their goal. So yes, in general sense, they're winners. Mm. If you look at just on paper what they've given up, like they've given up the best pick in all their exchanges, so pick 20. Mm. So technically, you could argue no, but based on what they needed to do, definitely they're the winners. They're gonna get Ashcroft, Marshall, and with any leftover picks, if there are any, they'll take a punt on someone else, so they'll be fine.
Yeah, and so they lose a future second, but they do an exchange on future thirds, ends up being with Essendon, between them and Essendon. So that's actually a little upgrade for next season, I would say.
And I guess the thing to mention, which doesn't come up here, is that Danaher did retire in the end. So
I think they're bringing
in Sam Day as an
delisted free agent,
whatever, yeah. So DFA. So obviously that's a downgrade. I'm a little bit surprised they didn't go hard at like trying to lure someone, maybe with a year left on their contract. I don't know who was available, but you would imagine they would have maybe tried. But at the end of the day, they do have Logan Morris, who showed more than I think even they expected.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So they probably just need Hipwood to step up a bit more, have a bit more contribution from some of those supplemental guys.
I think McCarthy plays tall as well.
Yeah, and they could just lean into that speed that they've got forward of center. So they'll be fine.
Yeah, the old-fashioned like Richmond, everyone's a small forward type vibe. Could, it's not the worst idea, but I'm sure they'll have to experiment a bit with that forward line going forward.
Yep.
I think we'll go into Georgie's boys, Carlton. And what's your thoughts? Winners or losers, man?
I don't know.
Okay.
Look, with Carlton, it's an interesting one because Carlton underperformed this year. Right? You could say their season was a failure, the way they ended.
Yeah.
And so when your team underperforms, what you want as a supporter is you want change and you want it big. So you want them to make some big moves. And they did that with like delisting Jack Martin, Marchbank and Cunningham, who were talented players that never played. So they just got rid of the dead weight, which is a bit of like a changing of the guard a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then they put up someone like Matt Owies and Kennedy and Lewis Young up for trade. And two of those went. Owies as well, right?
Yep.
And so it's kind of like, oh shit! Okay, they're making moves, which I like. I wanted change. I wanted them going and making these type of moves makes me as a supporter go, oh, they understand the situation they're in. So I like that. Did I expect them to find their way to pick three? No,
that's crazy.
So you guys know that I've kind of been against the Houston deal, and I didn't like Carlton being linked with Houston this whole time. Mm. Nothing against the player; he's a great player, but I just felt like the investment into him, which is a first round pick at the minimum. In a great draft and a high salary cap for another halfback, I felt like we have that position somewhat covered. I wanted us to address some of the other issues, which are what? Half forward, small forward players and speed in the midfield. So and I also like the idea of Carlton, which has a big core, address like building themselves up with younger players, because you can see successful teams like Brisbane winning the flag with still having younger players contribute.
Yeah, Ashcroft.
Ashcroft.
Smith, so, yeah.
Logan Morris, you talked about. Kyle Lohman, these type of players, right? Even the Hawks had the Wizard and Cal Shadir. Not that you can expect that from first-year players, but look at the performance they had. So you can have both. So when Carlton did that pick swap and got pick 14 as well, I was very excited, hoping that Houston wasn't traded. And we could take those two picks and address a bit of need in the draft, in a good draft. Maybe
small forwards were maybe available at that point. Maybe
like a Joe Berry or something else. And, you know, you're supplementing, you're growing while you've got a core of good players. Then they've gone bang and got pick three. So for them to do that, that must mean that they have identified a specific player or two that they go, either one of those we must have.
Well, hopefully three, because if it's only two players they really like, you better hope they make it to three. Yeah. I know it sounds...
Yeah, true. Well, look, you'd think it's... So, Jagger Smith, Ashcroft are going to be up there. So, you guys can't get Ashcroft. So, Jagger Smith, maybe Lawler, maybe...
O'Sullivan.
Maybe O'Sullivan. There's just...
Draper.
Yeah. So, who knows?
It is interesting, though, that they've gone, all right, we just need another gun young player. So, they didn't necessarily address the small forward issue. They even got rid of Owies. They've just gone, no, we want like to throw another Sam Walsh into this team. And that's just an interesting move. So they must have gone, all right, there's some really high talented crop. We just want one of those guys and we want them to just be part of the team. And we know that these days those type of players contribute straight away and within 2-3 years are guns.
One thing very unlikely to happen, but let's not forget teams can trade draft picks up until and including draft night. I think there's going to be a period now of a few weeks where they can, then they'll stop again and then it'll start again on draft night. So you may not even stay at three if a team comes hard at you, because people are going to want those early picks, man.
Yeah. What if like Melbourne decide, hey, you know,
6 and 9 or whatever?
Yeah. Well, they have, I think, yeah, either 6 or 9 or 5 and 9, five whatever and they have. Yeah. St Kilda, who knows? Maybe, maybe there's even more to play. But look, yeah, I think you're right. It's hard to say, are they winners or losers? Dino mentioned that before we started recording. Nick Haynes as a pickup is very
cheeky. We were linked to him for a while.
Yeah.
I think we need another key position player. I don't have necessarily, like, I'm not going, oh, Nick Haynes is our savior, because he's old and, you know, one injury is enough to probably end him. But I think he shores up that back line a little bit. Maybe gives McGovern more freedom. Maybe gives someone like Kemp more freedom. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. Kemp was almost on the way out, but then it ended up happening that, you know, St Kilda didn't give up enough.
Yeah, I think they rejected the offer, but they definitely offered something.
Yeah.
And then Kennedy, look, Kennedy's an interesting one, because one of my favorite players, and, you know, we talk about him being fringe, but he's not really a fringe player. He's played every game this year. He won, like, the Coach's Award or club Best Clubman, one of those type of awards for the best and fairest. Very valued player, and I actually think quite a good player.
Yeah, so it's an odd one. For pick 38, which I guess the fact that you guys showed, you guys kind of showed him the door. Yeah. It's not too bad to get 38 in, you know, in a way. But
if when you say that he's up for the trade table, then you're accepting offers, right? But I would have preferred them just kept him, because I think he's worth more than that pick. And the only problem with this type of player is they obviously don't value him as much as like a George Hewitt in the contest. But Kennedy can go to another team that needs a contested player and play pretty damn good football. It's kind of funny that he's left to Western Bulldogs, though, which is probably the one team that doesn't need him in there.
Bad.
Like, if he went to, like, a St Kilda or you know, these type of teams that, even a North, something like that, where you can throw him in there and he's a mature Bull player, he's going to contribute, man. But is he even going to play?
Yeah, well, he'll play, but it's just, what will the role be? Is it going to be the exact same thing as you guys?
I think he says, he's like, throw him forward if we need to, throw him backline if we need to, second ruck if we need to. I mean, they played James Harms. Like, he's better than James Harms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So James Harms is going to have some nightmares tonight. But,
yeah
look, I'm not sure I'm super happy with that. But it's the problem of having good players that don't quite fit roles. So if Kennedy's the fourth or fifth best midfielder and he's being forced because he's a good name to play half forward, well, there's better half forwards. And so he gets thrown. So interesting. And the only other thing I'll say is small forwards wasn't addressed. Got rid of Owies. There was a lot of uproar about Owies. Give me a spell, man. He ain't going to be winning us a premiership, so I'm happy for him to go.
Fair enough.
But it seems like Carlton is putting a lot of their faith in Zach Williams, of all people, as a small.
Yeah.
And Motlop. So, and even Fantasia is still around. Is he going to... I don't know, man.
That bit of it's a bit concerning, to be honest.
No, 100%.
That hasn't been addressed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they can do anything about it now. Trey Pure is done.
Yeah. So pretty much like what I'm gathering is, I think it's a win. The part of getting pick three, the fact that you managed, you know, a top five pick this year pretty much out of nothing is a W. But the lack of addressing the small forwards, bit of a concern.
And basically as well, like in my opinion, if you nail pick three and we know it's a good draft, obviously we could all be wrong, but let's assume it's as good of a draft as we all think it is and you get the right guy for your team, you'll be laughing at this trade.
Yeah.
If you draft a Paddy Wow, you're going to look back on this trade like, what did we do? We were on the cusp maybe of top four and we blew it. So it's going to have a lot of stakes to it. But
they did it. I like the fact that they've invested in youth though. As a Carlton supporter, I'm very over the savior pick. The Dan Houston will be the one that saves us. The Jack Martin will be the one that saves us. I'm over that.
The Zach Williams.
The Zach Williams, well, you know.
Can I ask you real quick as well? So I'm not going to say the names just yet, but what kind of a player in the top end of the draft would you rather draft? Would you rather have like an inside bull? Would you rather have speed in the midfield, a half forward sort of flanker?
I think it's very clear that we need a speed midfielder because we've got a lot of the same profile. Cripps, Walsh, Hewitt, Chera are our best mids now. So someone needs to come in with a point of difference. And
Walsh is the only one with a little bit of speed there.
Walsh has got a bit of burst. Cripps is just a bull. Chera's got a bit more class. Hewitt's all contested.
Right.
We know that you bring in a point of difference in the midfield like an Ed Richards or a Hayden Young like the this year and they make a big difference in the way that you play. Carlton doesn't really have that.
It's going to be Cuzzo, I reckon. They want Cuz as in Finn O'Sullivan. Sam Walsh's cousin.
Yeah, Sam Walsh's cousin.
He was quite high up on the agility testing, and that's obviously, you know,
he's got speed,
bit of speed, bit of burst,
but he could also, he can also play half forward, and he did for the VFL for Richmond and was kicking goals. Low possession.
I think that that also helps. You need those type. We don't have those forward half classy
players. If you don't get him, Jagger Smith has got that speed you want. Sid Draper has the speed you want. Probably not Lawler.
Yeah, but if he can, he's another one who can play forward as well. But
yeah,
different type. Bit more
I can see
body.
Finn sort of popping, but
yeah,
I think Jagger would be pretty fun as well in your midfield because he's sort of like the opposite of Cripper, but it would be fun in that way. Like he's small and zippy. You got Cripper's the monster in there.
Yeah, but he gets the ball, Jagger. Doesn't he?
Ball magnet.
So he's like he's first pick super coach.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much. If he goes to Richmond, especially.
Nice one. Move on to Collingwood. I reckon the next big team. And I want to say with them, so I've talked to a few people at my work in regards to, you know, about Collingwood and their thoughts on getting Houston. First guy I talked to said, yeah, man, happy. We snagged another one. We snagged again, best player in the draft, on the draft, in the trade period, you know, arguably. But then I talked to another couple of Collingwood supporters and they're like, oh, man, I kind of would have liked the picks. Oh, man. You know, we sold our soul to get him. I'm like, are you guys all right? But do you, like, I understand that the draft's coming up and we all love the draft and we love to get the shiny new toy. But like, you're getting, like, you guys aren't meant for that. You guys are meant for Houston and Perryman and guys who are ready to contribute to winning football. You guys have been blessed. You guys are huge winners here.
Yeah, I agree.
And the only thing that you guys gave up in the way, like, to get this was Richards, Noble, who are fringe, and a future first. That's nothing.
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
You've gone in on him a little bit there. I'm going to, surprisingly or not, I'm even angrier than you are, right?
Yeah, okay. No,
listen to this, okay?
I'm willing to listen.
So I'm going to exclude Perryman because that's a W. Free agent, you didn't pay anything for him. Good player, right? Let's talk about the Houston thing in all reality of what actually happened here, right? Port Adelaide got their pants pulled down. I'll get to them later, right? Gold Coast, as always, are compromising every draft because they've got their academy agendas. Good on them. That's fine. I've got – play the game. That's all good. But Collingwood somehow, without a first-round pick this year, has ended up with Dan Houston. And all that they gave up was their future pick one, which, by the way, they've got another father-son next year, and they don't even want that pick. That's facts.
Yeah, McGuan. Yeah, McGuan. You're right.
He's going to be a first-rounder. He's going to probably be picked in the top 10. They do not want that pick. So they got rid of it and they're laughing. They basically have stolen Dan Houston.
Yeah, it's mental.
Right? Richards, and this is completely not personal. I actually think he's a decent player. But right now in the AFL, he's pretty much a non-valuable trade asset.
Yeah, he's a third round pick.
Right?
That's what he is.
Noble, valuable, but not what the value they got for him anywhere close to it. Right?
He's like pick 30, I'd say.
Was the discussion of pick 13. Joke, right? Yeah. And then 36 they've given up as well. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah.
So they have basically a future first that they do not give a shit about and Noble for Houston, basically, because they got pick 58 back anyways.
And a player that perfectly fits their game
and,
style.
And I'm not angry at Collingwood. Well done. Like, beautiful navigation of the trade period.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fantastic. I'm just pissed at the other two teams that allowed this to happen, especially when Port's saying Houston hasn't requested a team. We're going to take the best deal. You mean to tell me that shit's the best deal? I'm sorry, man. I'm not even talking from a position of I'm pissed North didn't get him. But if it's true, and it is, that North was in the mix here with our future first, that shit's a top five pick, even if we improve.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, what are we talking about here? Everyone's just lying and playing the game. Like, basically, and we'll get to Port. I don't think they got anything good out of this.
Yeah.
Other than a pick 13. Gold Coast, they've satisfied their agenda. We'll get to that. Collingwood, massively. So they've all just done this shitty handshake, in my opinion, and the only one winning is Collingwood, which, again, fair play to them.
Yeah.
But how do we wonder why these guys stay relevant? Dacos, swindling people in trades. Like, stop letting them get away with it, man.
Yeah.
Don't accept this trade. What? It was reported the night before that the deal's off, and I was like, good, that's a shit deal.
Yeah.
And then the next day, it just happened.
It ended up being the same deal, like, pretty much.
This is bullshit, man. But well done to Collingwood. Don't disguise this as I'm angry at you guys. Like, hats off to you guys. Absolutely incredible deal. And now they've got Houston and Perryman added to what is a top four team when they're all fit. And we all know
that. Their flanks are perfectly lined up now, halfback flank.
And let's not forget, these guys were the premiers with a fit team.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, by all accounts, they'll all be back again next year. They've still got Pendles and Sidebottom going again, not looking like they're slowing down anytime soon. I don't know, man. I think the Pies will be top four easily next year with fitness. Easily.
I agree. They're dangerous, man.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. And like on the football part of it, right? Perryman, right? He was a midfielder for GWS and a very solid tagger at one point. So all of a sudden, that might mean a bit of flexibility there. Does he go? Does he play as a halfback? Does he play as a midfielder? Does Jack Crisp and his pace get to go back down back again?
Yeah.
Does Dakes get a little bit of time
does
down back again?
Does Houston play on ball a bit?
Yeah. There's this, there's so much you like, you know, versatility with these halfback slash midfielders.
Well, Perryman probably would have, part of the deal would have been like he gets more midfield minutes.
He will,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think so.
So you have Perryman doing a job, probably someone else doing a job. Mm. And then Dacos being Dacos.
And the Goey, we forget about him. He's a solid player as well.
When he's fit, you know. So, the Pies will be good next year when they're fit. Mm. I'm just more annoyed that these other two teams allowed this deal to happen. Like, that is not the best deal either of you could have got.
No,
you should have
no.
dealt separately and got better deals for yourselves.
I'm going to guess that Dan Houston was never interested in North. And
that's fine.
And that's fine, right? That is fine. But, like, I think they just tried to use North as a fuel to get a better deal out of Collingwood and Carlton. Shout out to Port actually helping out their guy and letting him go, but it was horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah, anyway. If I was a supporter, I wouldn't be shouting them out for that. Yeah,
no way.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're good to their, you know, to their employee, but you know, for the business, is no good. Anyway, should we move on to Essendon a little bit? Which
we can. Yeah.
All right, and we'll go down to Fremantle. And look, we do have to talk. Essendon lose a few, like their pick 9. That's pretty big.
That came out of nowhere, right?
Well, yeah. Why do you reckon they've done it? Can you explain to me why?
Basically, they were worried about Isaac Kakko getting a bid before then.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, actually, we got a comment. I can't remember your name, sorry. On my latest draft ranking video, someone asked about will the Bombers Kakko bid come before or after their pick? And I said, look, it's pretty line ball. If I had to guess, they should be fine. Mm. But clearly not, because then a few days later, the Bombers have started panicking. So I think it's very clever fear sort of mongering and Essendon got a little bit swindled here. But at the same time, if they're looking at the draft and saying, look, we just really want Kakko and then whatever else we get late, fine.
Mm. But also the future first from Melbourne you just don't know with Melbourne.
Yeah.
That could be a top five, man. You really don't know. If they fall away, you don't know.
So the Bombers could have risked it, but at the same time, I don't mind the deal for them. I think the bigger issue with Essendon is what they didn't do. Like the deal itself is a decent deal for them.
Yeah.
But what I
agree with that. That's kind of my point with Carlton. Like they underperformed and they've made some moves, right, to try to get better. Mm. What's Essendon done? What natural progression?
Well, here's the thing. I'm genuinely trying to remove bias from this, but I'm actually worried about them next year. And I'll tell you why, right?
Brad Scott,
that's it. No. This is a team, it reminds me actually a lot of that North of that era though, where there was a bit of overachievement during the season and then ultimately falling flat.
Yeah.
And then you kind of think you're maybe better than you are, you're worse than you are. You don't even know what you are, basically. North had that strategy for a while, like let's go try get the big fish, never got it. Mm. And you can kind of blame that for why we never hit, you know, even higher heights and then we decided to rebuild. Whereas the Bombers now, they haven't done anything. Like they haven't gone for the big fish like they usually do. They haven't gone fully into the draft, this year at least anyway, not yet. They could still try and get back into it.
Mm.
But it's basically just Kakko and then worry about next year with no other free agent or trade. So what are we actually expecting of them? And they've had, I don't know, development from the younger players. Oh, that's a risky game to play, my friends.
What about
the
Stringer thing that was apparently he was out the
door?
That's
a debacle, yeah.
And then
I forgot to add that into the list here. That so they lose him. He was a 42 goal forward.
No, they didn't lose him, did they? He didn't get traded.
He did, man.
He did.
He did.
He got done.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to add it to the list because I made a little list for the boys. Because AFL they don't get their
shout out, Mata.
Yeah,
shout
no, thanks Mata. For that. They don't get their lists out in a timely manner. But anyway, so for pick 53 it was. So that's they pretty much just lose. They lost him for nothing, really. It's not much there. Like, but the thing that's interesting is just the background stuff with him. I think that's the part where it's kind of like maybe they're just cleaning their hands off.
Yeah.
You know, and they already did it with Nick Hind and they got rid of him for nothing. And I think if there wasn't any bad stuff, you know, or any bad associations with those dudes, you'd think that they're still good for a list. Like Nick Hind's still good for a list.
Mm.
He's not going to get a look in anyway. Stringer on the back of a 42 goal season going for pick 53.
Yeah. And we were all sort of saying towards the end of last year, why are they playing so many tall forwards? So maybe from a list balance point of view, it'll be okay. But it is still 42 goals. Like, yeah, who's going to kick them?
That's the thing, man.
I don't know.
Like, you can't sneeze at that 42 goals. Like,
Heppel leaves as well.
What's that?
Heppel retires.
Yeah, true.
Hines gone. They haven't gotten better, put it that way.
I think they're going to be very heavily reliant on progression and, like, getting that a bit of consistency with their group. They need to be injury free, otherwise they're nowhere near top eight. Because if they're injury free, right, all of a sudden you've got a half decent defense in, you know, Mackay, Ridley. I think Zach Reed's got a bit of potential there. Nick Martin runs through there. Redmond runs through there. Like, it's not that bad. And the midfield, we know, Merritt, Parrish if he's fit again, Caldwell, you know.
Last year was kind of their...
I think that if that list is meant to excite me, it's not doing a great job.
I'm trying to sell it.
Because the thing is, like, they had the red carpet rolled out for them last year, and look what happened. I can't see a world where, like, they'll play Tsardis more, they'll play Caddy more, which is exciting. Don't get me wrong. Kakko's exciting. They'll get him.
That small forward they got from the rookie draft, El Saad or whatever.
Yeah.
El Haldi.
Yeah, they're going to play him apparently maybe halfback. So, look, there's potentially some interesting things there, but it's all potential.
And true.
If we know Essendon, like, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't be banking on that.
Fair enough. All right. So, move on to Freo. They're really only involved with one trade here, and that was the Bolton move.
I like it.
Like, now, they've already got such an exciting midfield. Arguably the best one in the league, just about. Like, Brayshaw, Sarong, Hayden Young, and then they've got two gun ruckmen who can, you know, help those guys out.
Yep.
All of a sudden, Shai Bolton pinch hits.
It's the X factor they needed. And the funny thing is, right, fair play to them. They lost Schultz kind of surprisingly last year, but they've turned that future pick and other stuff into Shai Bolton, who's even better than him, right?
Yeah, so, without a doubt.
You know, that's a good way to use your picks. It is a lot. I mean, they gave 10, 11, and 18 for Bolton and 14. The 14 was the crucial bit there that means that it's fair value. And Richmond goes to the draft, which is what they want. So that's good. So
I think the only thing that kind of happens here is the best Western Australian player in the draft is Bo Allen. There's a pick before that from West Coast. So I think that becomes a non-factor. They're probably not interested in him anyway because he's another big body mid when they've got enough of him. So I think that's interesting that they're showing that they're not interested in that.
I can get Cal Dryon instead.
Cal Dryon, exactly. My boy. Because they need another ruck. look, it's interesting, man. I think it's a W. It's a big W for them.
How much better do you think he makes them? I mean, they fell off last year for a variety of reasons.
I think he makes them better, a lot better.
Just off, like, what's the ceiling now?
Top four.
I think top four.
Top four, man. Like, and it's not just because of Shai Bolton, because I think we can't get too excited about just one guy, right? But he's X factor. He's a dude who can have his 3 or 4 goal games, and he can also have his 30 plus disposal games as well. But yeah, it's the rest of the team as well, man. Like the midfield, Caleb Sarong, Brayshaw, and Hayden Young. Is insane, man.
Yeah,
it is insane.
But I also I like what Tracy did this year. You know, you put Shai Bolton at the feet of him. That's quite good. I mean, Walters is, if he hasn't retired or now, he's finished. And Schultz is gone as well. So they've kind of put a new one in. Frederick, I don't know if Frederick's that
Swikowski.
He just adds to that fleet a little bit, and I think it makes a big difference because he's a pretty good player. He just needs to learn how to kick straight. Bolton. Those 0-3 games need to go away.
Yep.
All right. Move on to Geelong. Another winner, really.
They got Bailey.
They got Bailey Smith. They gave up not a hell of a lot. You know, they probably don't really care about this draft that much. So 17-38 goes away.
Yeah. This was one of the funniest ones on deadline day, which I'm tracking this thing and watching it. And there was apparently, like, always on the table, pick 17. That's it. That's it. And Dogs are saying, no, we're not doing that. And then there's all the talk of, we'll walk him to the draft, da-da-da. And all it was in the end was a swap of picks 45 and 38. Like, finally got it done.
Like,
and,
come on, man. We could have suggested that.
They're even whispering in Damien Barrett's ear, who's just reporting. He didn't give any opinion on it. But it was basically like, the Bailey Smith camp, like the managers and that are saying, like, due to his mental health issues, like, you know, we really want to get it done. Like, It's like every player is in that boat, man. Like you can't play that card when it matters. But
Did you hear the interview from the Connor Sports or whatever his guy afterwards when they asked about how's Bailey Smith going? He's like, yeah, chill. He was pretty chill.
Exactly.
Like he was like super calm.
It's that's like, what I'm saying. They
he seems like a pretty chill bloke, man. Ooh, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, but well done to the Cats. I mean, the role will be interesting. I mean, he's always wanted to be more of an inside mid.
Mid role.
I don't know, man. Atkins could, force him out. Look, blitz ups.
It becomes quite dangerous when you got Holmes and Smith bursting out of the midfield, man.
And Dangerfield, he can't. Like, I know he's getting old, but like he still has that little bit of burst. And
Dangerfield's still dangerous.
Yeah.
So, mate. All right. Yeah. Winners, Geelong.
Good stuff, Geelong. Yeah.
Gold Coast now. Dino probably has a couple things to say, but before Dino goes into angry rant mode, I just want to say that they, in my opinion, they've killed it. In my opinion, so obviously they get rid of a lot of assets and for this year's draft, like early assets, but they've stocked up for Leo Lombard. They get rid of Lukosius, who honestly is just tall Jaden Smith. Jaden Stevenson, sorry. I can't get his name. He's tall Jaden Stevenson. That's really all he is. He's weak. He occasionally gets his 4 or 5 goals. There's a lot of improvement out of that guy that needs to come out. And they clean their hands of this guy whilst getting 2 future firsts.
Yep.
And Rioli. And Elliot Himmelberg's 8 as well.
Yeah.
That's commander killed. I'm
not gonna go in on them. As I said before, like they compromise every draft because they've always got an agenda, but I don't blame that on them. That's just the rules and they're playing the game well. The future firsts are the crucial bit here because they've got Zeke Ulund, who's supposedly gonna go number 1, Brody Ulund's brother. He's the top 3 pick.
Yeah.
So that's why they wanted the future first. So they're gonna compromise next year too. Again, good on them. So they got, like, I agree with Mata, Lukosius, I mean, just look at the writing on the wall. Hardwick did not know where to play him this year and did not get the best out of him. Mm, yeah. So they tried forward, they tried back, they tried every role they could possibly imagine for him.
It's dangerous to be a player that can kind of play multiple roles.
Yeah, but he's obviously not good enough to.
That's right. If you're not really sure where to play him, it's like the eternal problem and he never cements it. So
yep. So he's gone. And they'll be fine because next year they'll have, obviously, they've got King, Walter will get better if they want Andrew up forward or back, whatever they decide. So. No, they've done extremely well. Himmelberg's a nice depth piece. Noble, and actually Rioli's not on the... Oh, yes, he is. Sorry, Mata.
Yeah.
So Noble and Rioli, let's talk about that. Their halfback situation now. Sexton, if they still want to play him there, which they probably won't.
Yeah, they're playing Flanders there, and that's not his best role.
Yep.
His best role is in the middle. All of a sudden, they've just got so much depth in the guts again, right? Because Flanders has to go back in, you'd think.
And their manager just said, actually, on the deadline show, basically, enough is enough with the draft picks. Like, they'll pick up their academy kids, but last year they picked 4 first rounders because of the academy. So they wanted experience and they want to finally push on. They don't want to be one of the youngest lists anymore. Yeah, so
I think that makes sense. It's time for that.
Well, let's see if they can finally make a final or be a serious team.
Probably not, but yeah. I think they'll get there. I think they'll get there.
Yeah. But no doubt you'll tip them in the 8 again.
Look, man, I do it every year. So
it's true.
I get sucked in by the sun.
You do.
Yeah. Also, a little bit of a loss there as well. Rory Atkins as well.
How are they going to recover?
Put it this way. Lukosius and Atkins on the back line. I know that Atkins didn't really play much. Replaced by Rioli and Noble. You take Rioli and Noble over those two.
Ooh, yeah. They've done very well. We'll get to Port. Port's coming. Don't worry. Yeah. The cooking's brewing.
GWS. All right. So they've managed to get quite a bit out of compensation. They managed to get a 42-goal forward in Stringer. But they lose 3 really solid, role players. I'm going to go L. But that's a little bit got to do with the fact that they've brought in Stringer, who's a little bit cool, great player, but they've just had their wacky Wednesday stuff. Ooh, all of a sudden, you're getting another.
We're not going to talk about that today.
Yeah, I'd like to. But they're getting another, wild card and throwing, cat amongst the pigeons. I don't know, man. It's interesting, man. That's interesting.
I kind of think it's meh.
It is meh.
It is a bit meh.
Yeah, look, I'm going to say.
I mean, Cumming didn't play any footy this year, right?
No, he played the second half of the year as a wingman, so they kind of. They're misusing him in my eyes.
Yeah.
Look, cool that, pick 16 and 21 is actually pretty good now I think about it. But they didn't get much out of Peatling, who, at one stage I thought, man, this guy's worth a first rounder. This guy's pick one, but he was looking really good. But look, I don't know.
The only good things they've brought in is Compo. So they're lucky that system even exists, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
I think the bigger issue here is all 3 of their free agents wanted to leave. That's a bit
true.
Actually, they had I think Stone as well, but They're three.
Yeah, oh, well,
they're like three Stone. Important they're, players.
Yeah,
but it's, I think players. It's opportunity, man. I think it's opportunity. Like Peatling wants full time minutes.
Mm.
Cumming wants a halfback role, so that could be a reason why. You know,
no, look, it makes sense, but also, you know, losing players of experience and replacing them with draft picks when you're a top four hopeful. I don't know.
Mm.
Obviously, they won't be happy, I don't think. They'll be very thankful of the combo and they're going to be pretty upset, to be honest.
I reckon. Look, and I was going to say, so they had three guys who wanted to leave, right? But they also had more. They had Wade Dirksen who wanted to leave, who, you know, he's a player who's never played a game. But look, another guy wants to leave. O'Halloran, he's a solid role player for them. You know, he comes in and always does a job. He wanted to leave as well.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of people just, like, you know, really wanting out of there. I cannot wait to hear what happens with this Wacky Wednesday stuff. You guys know how much I love the footy rumors. And
I'm sure your mate's mate hasn't texted you already.
Yeah. It's like, you know, don't tell anyone I told you this, but you know, don't use my name for this, but you know, I love those.
Hey, they're listening to us right now, but let me text it to you.
Yeah. All right. Hawks win.
They've basically just said we're ready to go. Yeah. I mean, when you make a prelim, you shore up your defense and you go bang.
Yep, 100%.
They got the guys they were meant to get. The future picks, I strongly believe next year's future picks don't really matter as much as any pick in history because there's a new rule next year where you can trade 2 years in advance.
Yeah.
So if things don't go well for them, they'll just buy back into the draft.
Yeah.
If there's a pick guy they really like Weddle they traded up for, they're going to have 2 years worth of picks to trade back in to get Weddle, or the Weddle equivalent.
Yeah.
So they're not going to not be in next year's draft. They'll be in it if they want to be, but they definitely got the two guys they wanted. Defense is great.
Yeah. Do they overpay for Josh Battle? Probably. They've given him a 6-year deal. But like, look, we saw like...
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. And he's a very solid player. He's a dude who flies in, you know, with a bit of reckless abandon. You know what I mean? He's athletic, you know. So, and it just gives him the Sicily, versatility.
Mm. I think Sam Frost's role is a bit in danger.
Yeah, just quietly.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting. How do they move? How do they go with Scrimshaw? Is he still a key position player, or does he get a bit more freedom?
Yeah, he's got more freedom now, big time.
So I think he Hawthorn will win. Is not really much to say. And yeah, again, what Dano said, the future first. Melbourne.
This is an L.
You're wrong. And the reason is because they got pick 9 and they haven't really given up a hell of a lot here in my eyes.
They're future first. But again, Melbourne does this all the time. Yeah. Cal Toomey always says it. Melbourne are like the inventors of, as he calls it, draft to pay. It's like afterpay for the draft picks, right? Okay. So Melbourne, they've basically gotten into pick 9 and paid for it using their future first.
Yeah.
And next year, they'll get back into the first round by using their other future first. Yeah. And they're just constantly going to be in debt to themselves.
Yeah. But I think, look, this year of all years, it's the time to do it because there's...
That's what I'm saying.
It's a great draft and they're just taking advantage. So that one, in my opinion, that's a huge win. Sharp could be solid. They've got a backup to Gorn in Tom Campbell. They're not huge moves, but they're under the radar, but I think they're good moves.
But do you think, like, how does Melbourne get better from what they did this year? Probably that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, they've lost Neil Bullen. He's a role player.
They do have 5 and 9 this year, so they'll get...
Oh, 5 and 9, yeah.
Yeah.
So the 9, they've got extra.
So they're adding draft talent, but they're not necessarily making their immediate team any better.
Look, I think the draft talent does make their immediate team
better.
The thing I will say for them, the only reason why you could, you know, say, oh, their off-season in entirety is a loss is because of the off-field stuff.
Well, yeah.
Like, because, look, I look at these transactions, like, based just on, you know, ins and outs, and I think W.
Mm.
Is that crazy to say?
I think it's dead even. It sort of depends on who they draft this year.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think it's, like, losing Neil Bullen, I can see where George is coming from. Like, you're losing an experienced player, sort of, getting into this year's draft again at the cost of next year. So it's kind of like, okay, you can see it both ways.
Yeah.
But if they nail, like, we all picture like Port Adelaide's draft of like Rosie Butters. Like, say they bring in two guys that come in and make an impact.
Yeah.
They've made the right call. And I think there's a higher chance of that happening, but I'm not going to give it a big W.
They probably do need a lot more younger talent, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you really think about it. So they brought in Windsor and, you know, he's going to be a good player. But like, who else is kind of up and coming in that team?
Well, that's the thing. They need midfield talent.
They need it.
They need whoever ends up dropping to them out of those midfielders like Lawler, Murphy Reid, you know, because that's probably around the 5 mark.
My boy.
Dino's boy. Any of those dudes four to five and nine, you snap them up. And maybe even a key forward. Maybe maybe they go, you know what, stuff it. We'll take Harry Armstrong and then whatever mid falls to nine, you know, whatever it is. So,
and let's not forget, like, there's all these constant rumors, like Oliver every year maybe wanting to leave.
Yeah.
Petrarca came out of nowhere. We're assuming that won't go away. Pickett every year, there's always a whisper.
Yeah.
Gorn's getting older. Like, I don't mind starting the draft thing from now while you're still relevant. Because if you wait till next year when it all blows up, potentially, then you're just a year behind. So,
Have I convinced you guys it's a dub or not?
Yeah, no, I'm lowercase W.
Yeah, lowercase W.
Depending on who they draft.
No, I'm not in the end. No, I wouldn't say a capital either.
Yeah.
But now, all right, now it's our turn, Dana.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
Look, so
that's so funny that you did Konstanty in Greek.
Yeah, I had to, man. I'm glad you noticed. But yeah, look. My initial thought, like with, say, for example, the first one, the Caleb Daniel deal, we did overpay, I think.
Yeah.
Draft.
As of the player that he was last year, we did.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. But, like, look, Darling, Daniel, Parker, Konstanty, they're four dudes who, you know, we'll leave out Konstanty because we don't really know him at the AFL level yet, but he's a small forward, position of need, high draft pick.
First round pick 2 years ago.
Just 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
But those three dudes are, like, premiership players. They're all, you know, good. Like Caleb Daniel, you know, all Australian as well. Luke Parker, gun, champion player. Darling, it was only pick 67 anyway. You know, so look, I'm happy.
I think a team like North Melbourne just needs more senior bodies with experience. So you've put three of them in and it just shores up that team.
Yep.
So I think it's a good move.
I'll probably be even a bit more, surprise, surprise, a bit more optimistic than even Matza, right? Mm. And here's why. Think about it practically from my point of view, and this is no offense to any of the players I'm going to name, right? But I don't care how old Jack Darling is. As Matza said, he's a premiership player who's still way better than Toby Pink. And guess who we played way too many times last year was Toby Pink. No offense, man.
Yeah. And right? to Jack Darling's defense, he had the most tackles in the forward 50 for West Coast. So obviously the dude's still willing to run and try.
He'll be an improvement on our forward line. There's no question about it.
Mm.
The bar's not high enough to say that he won't contribute. Okay. Yeah. Now with Daniel, we did overpay. We've paid pick 25 for someone who wasn't even really in the Dogs' best 22. Mm. But we all know just a few short years ago when he was a halfback, he's a very good player.
Mm.
And that we've already said he will be a halfback. He's going to be the main ball distributor. So what that tells me is no more reliance on Zach Fisher.
Yeah,
Colby McKercher can go up the field.
Yeah.
That's a huge win. Like for the context of the trade, I'm willing to pay up a bit because of the importance on the whole team, right?
Yeah.
Parker, invaluable. He just played in a grand final and was one of their better players late, didn't give up to the last siren, kick three.
Those goals were classy as well. They weren't just they weren't just tap-ins.
Correct. And we need someone in the midfield with more experience.
Mm.
To then, and then he can go forward and kick goals too, right? So that was always going to be a good one to get in. And Konstanty, you're right. Like, former first round pick, small forward. He's shown a little bit in the VFL. Like, you're happy to take a flyer on a guy like that.
100%.
So, well, I think the overall impact on our team is exactly what we need. Because all year, and it's right, and I've been the biggest advocate, our leaders aren't really other teams' leaders. You put Simkin and McDonald in another team, they're just vibes and like maybe good trainers off the field. Like and we're talking about on-field leadership, man. These guys are it.
Yeah, 100%.
So
I think Luke Parker specifically, I think that's like, and in the end, it's pick 44 for him, which I think is fair. But what a, man, what a player to get, man. A player to get.
Each line, defense, midfield, forward, now has a premiership player in it that didn't have it before. So guess who's happy?
Yep.
Definitely me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care what we paid. And when you look at it, 25, 44, 67, is fair enough for what we got in, I think, overall. Yeah. Let me still keep pick two. We'll be fine.
Mm. I think, one thing I was going to say with Parker specifically, right, is I don't know if you remember, Dino, but when we had Wardlaw go out for a few games, when we had, like, I don't know, Simpkin went out for a few games. Mm-hmm. LDU, I think, played most games this season, so not him. But, like, when we have an injury or two in the midfield, all of a sudden, Will Phil's getting a lot of time in there. Tom Power's getting a lot of time in there. You know what I mean? These are dudes who I'm happy to not really get extended midfield minutes.
Correct.
Luke Parker, I'm more than happy for him to have an 80% CBA's midfield game for us.
Yeah.
That's so fine. And especially the fact that, look, Wardlaw is just he's an animal. He's like, I think like he's like Clary vibes, you know what I mean? Like peak Clary vibes if he can get his body right and be good. But he's a danger to himself.
Yeah,
the way he goes about it. So if all of a sudden you've got Luke Parker who can show him how to, hey, don't always, you know, put your head in danger. Don't, all, you know, just, I don't know, just that little bit of, you know, what's it called, guidance, and also just, you know, actually being the big body there to take the hits. It's fantastic, man.
And the two things as well that no one's mentioned yet, at least that I've seen in the media, is everyone's always saying, oh, what's Clarko done? What's Clarko done? What he's happened to do right now is convince three premiership players to join a club that's been down the bottom all these years, right? And you look at it, everyone talks about how well Hawthorn did last year. On paper, no one was raving about that at the time. D'Ambrosio, Ginnivan, Chole. It was like, yeah, good work, but like whatever. This is better than that. I'm not saying we're going to have the same outcome, but this is a better return on a struggling bottom four team than what even Hawthorn did last year. So I think the Clarko effect, considering where we've been, is a very good return on that. And then next year, hoping we get even better, we might be some serious players next year. You never know. Yeah. Like what Hawthorn's done again. So that's kind of the blueprint. How quickly it'll turn, I don't know. But I'm much more optimistic now that we'll get out of the bottom four. Not too much higher, but I don't think we'll be anywhere near as bad as we've been lately.
Yeah. And now I guess we have the draft to look forward to. We have pick two. Are we going to split that?
100% split.
Yeah.
I'll be shocked if we keep pick two.
Yeah. If we don't split it, do we, you know, use our next year's pick to try to trade into, you know, into the top 10 so we get two and whatever. Like
100%.
I'd be very happy for that. Yeah. Nah, look, exciting times. For North, and then I'll give you the floor for...
You guys just suck, man. Like, honestly, like, I'm sorry, right? Like, no, this trade makes no sense for them, right? You've got a contracted player in Houston who every other team in the league, even the Dogs, who we'll get to later, and we said that they're the wankers of the draft period. Well, Matza did anyway.
Started off hot. In our mouth.
Even
man.
This guy.
Started off hot, man.
Even these guys are saying, Caleb Daniel, no, he's contracted. Even though he's a sub most of the time. No. You're paying up. And you know what? I respect it. I hate him, but I respect it. Port has Dan Houston and All-Australian back-to-back, once out, not even saying, I want Collingwood, so that you could have just said, no, Pies, your offer's shit. We're going to just wait it out. But no, you wait and wait and wait, and all that you get in return is, as Matta said, a tall Jaden Stevenson, until otherwise proven. That's what he is. Richards, who I said earlier, no offense, but you're a nobody right now in the AFL. Atkins, you are not a draft asset.
Yeah. He's not even going to play.
And then pick 13, which is a good pick, but it's not.
29, 36, 50,
whatever. That's not important enough. So basically, you've given up, and you've given up your future first as well. That's the kicker in all this.
Yeah.
So you've given up a first round pick, which is probably going to be 13. So that's going to cancel itself out. You've basically just given Houston to Collingwood, in my opinion, unless Lukosius becomes what Lukosius in his draft year was meant to be.
Well, unless he becomes better than Houston.
And he won't.
Yeah, no, I don't think he will either.
I don't think even Port Adelaide thinks Lukosius is the Lukosius they were hoping to lure a couple of years ago when it was Rankin Lukosius and, they're both going to go back to Adelaide. Well, both are now.
Yeah, well.
But at that time, this would have made like excellent sense. Right now, the play Lukosius is, this is stupid. I can't believe Houston gave them the window, if it's true, and this is the one they accepted. Ludicrous. The Melbourne offer 2 months ago was better than this. Carlton's offer better than this. North's offer better than this.
I think it very much shows that it's all about what Houston wanted and not about what Port wanted.
And that's fine if that's really what happened.
That's my point.
I don't think that is fine.
Shit deal though. Shit deal.
No, yeah. I'm with you. Players have too much power.
And the thing,
contract the player.
Yeah, and the thing that adds extra insult to the wound was the fact that Houston got suspended, didn't play.
Right? Exactly,
like ruined their chances. Like we saw the impact that not having him and Farrell had on their chances, right?
Yeah.
He's their main driver of ball. They didn't even play in their final series when they had a chance in a prelim. And then once out, and then they get nothing for him.
And then they failed to get in the GWS player, like coming...
Yeah.
Peatling, like whoever else they were in for. Perriman, sorry.
Yeah, Perriman, that's it.
So they were in for the guys to replace him, failed, ended up with Atkins instead off halfback. Like, what are we talking about? They should have absolutely said no to Collingwood. We're not giving Houston staying, dealt with Gold Coast separately for the coaches and been done with it. This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
100%.
Anyway.
Yeah. Look.
Dumb, man.
I think we can
But you know what? Good. Stuff him.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, well, I'm right. No, seriously. Look, they went after a contracted first year player in Horne Francis for us. So this is kind of like I think this is karma for them, to be honest with you.
But Kane Corns he went for a walk. He was steaming.
Yeah, no, you know what? He was spot on, man.
Yeah, he was.
It's a shit trade. If you're a Port fan, which he is, man, I'm angrier than him as just a neutral. Like, this is like almost borderline, like taking the piss out of the draft period, in my opinion.
Nah,
that's such a shit move. Anyway.
Yep. So Do we anything else then?
No, I'm pissed, I'm fuming.
Look, I'm just happy Carlton didn't get him. But yeah, I don't want Collingwood to get him. I wanted him to go to you guys, if that means anything.
Look, it would have been fun. He would have been excellent for us, man. He'd have been so huge.
Would have been good, and I'm certain we had the better deal. And if it's true, like, completely fine if Houston didn't want to come to North. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a bit too big of a fish to pick up where we are.
Mm.
That's all, like, what I was saying.
Maybe the man wanted to get to Victoria.
That's what I'm saying. And he's
contracted, so why does he have a right to say anything?
Well, look, he opened the window, but apparently, like, it seemed to have closed as soon as Collingwood said their name. But by the way, apparently there's like a Nick Dacos Houston link of like playing together. They're so much different in age. Yeah, did you guys pick up on that?
Well, Houston's 27. Dacos is what? 20?
Like 21 max.
Yeah, I don't know. They got
Dacos is a pretty good player. Maybe under 60s, he was probably still dominating.
You
under
know what
12.
I mean? There was like a photo together where they both won. It's like great win. It's
and they look like they're the same age there.
What the hell? No one's mentioned this.
I'm lost with that.
Anyway.
But yeah, now look, I think Nick Dacos is probably the biggest draw in regards to like getting guys
to play
with him.
That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
But Port could say no.
Yeah, no, true.
He's
100%,
contracted.
Yeah, exactly.
He's contracted.
I think it's for another 2 or 3 years. Like, you're going to get the same offer next year.
And again, Port could just play this off like, look, we don't want to be that team holding a player that doesn't want to be here. Like, he really doesn't want to be here. Let's just get rid of him.
Yeah, but he didn't even...
And if that's the case, they've just been, like, basically put in a corner and had to accept this really shit offer.
Yeah.
In that case, I kind of feel for them. But at the same time, it's Port, so
Houston,
whatever.
Houston has dogged them, but they should have... They needed to hold firm, surely. Yeah.
They should have got more. But Collingwood
wouldn't
had
have expected a contracted player that signed a long-term deal to want out.
Exactly.
Now that their defense is seriously weakened.
Like, how did Gold Coast get more future picks than them? I don't get it. Like, Gold Coast has given up 13 but received Port's. Like, why getting rid of your own pick for this? For the Lukosius side of it? Like, I don't know. Mm. For me, I don't know. If I'm looking on that piece of paper as a Port fan, I'm like, why would we do any of this other than just we're forced to do everything? And that says a lot. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, good luck to them next year.
Yep.
good luck to a team next month in the draft because it's theirs, Richmond. Look, I think considering half the list asked out, right? And there probably could have been more. Like, there was more. Like, apparently Broad, you know, was in talks with North. Mm. Bolton, he managed to re-sign. I don't know. There was probably other dudes as well.
They were saying Lynch could go.
Yeah, Lynch could go. Look, they end up losing some really top players. But the return is insane.
So, you guys know the draft better than I do. Like, how likely are they to get 8 good players?
Look, I don't think you... Look, I think based on a list management... like perspective, you can't take that amount of first round picks.
That's
because you're going to have to pay them all at the same time. It's just, it's not going to work. They're going to have to split up this.
They're going to have to, right?
Either trade, you know, a couple picks up to better picks or they're going to have to trade into next year, which is cool.
Funnily enough, I think North will be eyeing that pick 6, to be honest. And I'm seeing these other picks here, like 6 and 20 for 2 or 6 and hopefully 10 or 11 for 2 would be even better. But 100%, even 20 would be fine. Mm. So I think they'll probably compress it. And if I had to predict, I think they're ending up with picks 1 and 2 in the draft. I think that makes too much sense to not happen. Mm. But in any case, like you asked, like, what's the odds of getting 8 good players? Not that high.
Yeah.
But you might get 3 or 4. And that's...
It's likely to be like a Butters, Rosie...
Much more likely.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they get 1 and 2, all of a sudden it's Jagger and Lawler, who is sort of different types. Or Jagger and Finn O'Sullivan, slightly different as well.
Or Finn and Lawler.
Finn and Lawler, yeah, exactly.
So maybe, they can do a lot.
Maybe this whole Jagger stuff playing in the Richmond VFL was just a bit of a smoke screen for, you know, other players. I don't know.
We'll see. So like draft-wise and look, at the end of the day, they've won their premierships.
Yeah.
They've bottomed out way more than they thought they would have.
But at the right time.
But you're thinking, you know what, at the right time, Tassie's coming in a few years.
Yeah.
The draft system's changing next year. Like, if you're going to bottom out, this is the way to do it.
Yeah. It's just a shame that they bought in on Taranto and Hopper. And that got rid of two first-round picks.
Sucks
for those two guys specifically. And sucks for them that they couldn't get a bit more talent in. But look, with the hand that they've been dealt, I think this is pretty damn good.
Mm. I think it's going to be exciting for their fans too, because now that they're officially in the rebuilding, and they're going to pick up some really high-end talent, and they're going to play round one.
Yeah.
Right? As a Richmond fan, you then look at them as a whole different way, right? You're not looking at the mature players like the Bakers and the Boltons to help them because they're gone.
Mm.
Now it's all about the youth, but the youth is going to be there.
Yeah. So, and quite honestly, like Shy Bolton, I really rate. Rioli, semi-rate. I'm not really a massive Baker guy.
I think Baker's pretty good.
He's good, but he's not.
Yeah. I like the Bake Show, to be honest with you.
He's fun.
I don't think Jack Graham's
fine, yeah.
No, he's fringe, man.
What I'm trying to say is, like, I think you can pretty easily replace a Baker. And Rioli, you know, halfbacks aren't the hardest position to
recruit. Baker's a pretty versatile player.
No, he's not. He's a nice player, but I'm not, like, I'm looking at the hall and I'm saying, that's, you do that.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Especially where they're at this, you know.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's not like they're all of, like, Bolton's quality. Like, you're not losing Taranto, Bolton. It's a bit different going down to a Baker. It's the next level down, in my opinion. Really fun for the draft. Like we said before, the picks can be traded, so there's going to be movement for sure.
But a lot of yellow stripes, I think.
Oh, it's going to be good. No, I'm excited for him. Yeah. Pick him up on Supercoach next year for sure.
Oh, yeah. We'll move on to St Kilda. In my opinion, a big part of this being a W is the fact that they got another top 10 pick out of Josh Battle.
Yeah.
But they're winners, you know, and they get McRae, who should play a bit more mid this year, so again, another Supercoach pick. And I'd be happy. I'd be very happy if I was a supporter, to be honest with you.
Again, it's the compo. Like, if you wipe the compo rule out of this, it's like, oof, you've lost Battle and given pick 27 for McRae and 32. Like, it's, even that's okay.
Mm.
But the Battle compo is excellent.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good.
Who replaces Battle in the back line, I guess?
Sorry, that was, that's the issue. That's the only bad part is the key defensive positions. Like, it's, you've got Wilkie. You have the guy who used to play for Port Adelaide, who they tried to get out of the club.
Dougal Howard.
They don't like him.
Did resign him in the end.
Yeah, but they ended up resigning him because they had to. They didn't manage to get Brody Kemp as an option.
Mm.
Look, regardless, based on the ins and outs, it's a win, but there probably should have been a bit more looking into the key defender position.
Mm.
I don't know. What can they? Is there still anyone in the delisted free agency market? Probably you could pick up someone, you know, but
well, Curtis Taylor's been linked with him a lot from North, but he's not that half, like, no, not the position you're talking about.
Position, but yeah, but he's solid.
But look, if McRae, at the end of the day, if McRae contributes, not to his peak, obviously, but anything close to it, it's a really good outcome for them. But in all reality,
McRae and Steele. That like four or five years ago in Supercoach, man, mate, Steele and McRae, they were like 1A, 1B in Supercoach, man.
Does McRae take the Crouch role then?
100%.
Because they didn't play Crouch, even though
he was injured a lot, though.
Yeah,
I think
he's retired.
He's retired.
Oh, he's retired.
He's finished. Yeah, no, 100%. He takes that role, and he's much better than Brett Crouch. He's like, I think, you know, obviously he's probably slowed down a little bit, but when he does play, he's class, man. He's still a good user of the footy. Probably not the best, you know, in and under type dude because he's just not physically that, but he's a smart footballer. So I really like that. Along with, you know, Jack Steele, who's a bit more in and under. Phillip, who's a bit all action. You know, he showed a lot in the end of the season. I'm happy. I'd be happy if I'm them.
They are losing Membry as well, or not offering him a contract. So it's a little bit, I don't know. I'm hesitant to give them a W.
Okay.
But it's not a big L by any means. So I think they've just sort of done something, lost someone, brought someone in.
I'm giving everyone W's, mate.
I'm
an optimistic. I love this time
loves
of year.
Loves the trades, mate.
I love it.
We'll see what you say about West Coast soon.
Yeah. Well, what about Sydney before them? So Sydney, it was the Parker deal. So they've lost Parker and Constanti. North gave him pick 44 in the end.
Not much really to it, man.
Well, Constanti was going to leave anyway. Yeah. So that was just a throw in.
Yeah, exactly. Look, they get 44 for Luke Parker. I think it's kind of bad mismanagement of the player considering he's, you know, he's a champion of the club, and all of a sudden, you know, you've forced his hand to leave. I think that's pretty bad on their end. But like, I'm just going to say they're losers because there's not much to what they've done here.
It is kind of interesting that he did want to leave to go to North specifically. Like, that's clearly a Clarko thing, to be honest. Like, even when Hodge left to Brisbane, Hawthorn was on the decline at that point. Sydney's just played in the grand final. So if the role's there for him, like you're saying, clearly he's not happy with, you know, what happened this year, which, to be fair, like, he was out of the team and then got suspended in the VFL, then came back. He really only played the last 5-6 games, didn't he? So
He played pretty damn well as well.
Considering the role, like, he made an impact up forward. You know, when you look at his body, you're thinking, will he, won't he? Like, he's a good player. He just gets it done. So, you know, they're probably a bit of an L. Like, they didn't bring in anyone in. They lost Parker. So
based on ins and outs, it's an L.
Yeah.
Based on ins and outs. But look, it's not like next year we can imagine they're going to get worse because of this.
No.
So,
but in terms of their transactions, there's nothing that they've gained other than pick 44, which TBD on that, obviously a late pick. But yeah, what about West Coast boys?
West Coast, I'm gonna say that it's an L.
Yeah,
it's an L.
West Coast fans are freaking out, so yeah. I'll probably believe what they're thinking.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's what I said. Did they need to give up pick three?
No. Nah.
They didn't need to do it, right?
No. Nah.
Well, you were saying this before, so paint the picture again. Just break it down.
Well, like, so Barras, right? If they had traded Barras to Hawks for the 14, for pick 14, they could have given that pick to Baker, right? And then kept three. Am I right?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
Plus other stuff. So
because they, because they stalled on that, Carlton took that pick, and that was why Carlton's first move was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. You
know, everyone else is stalling, playing games, and Carlton's just gone bang, and now they've had to do the ring around.
Yeah.
Because they took that pick back.
Well, this is why Carlton, what they did specifically was smart, because everyone was fighting over pick 13, which turns out Gold Coast was just playing a game with us all because they wanted this specific deal with Collingwood and Port. So Carlton's like 13, 14, yeah. So they went and got 14 instead and then used it. So I but think
I'd be losing my mind if I was a West Coast because we know, we've talked about the quality of the draft and what you could get in a team that needs young talent, like a lot of it. And they're not going to get that early pick.
Yeah. Mm. Well, there was a guy on YouTube.
They got Matt Owies, though.
They got Matt Owies. Yeah, they got Matt Owies. He's a gun.
Put him in the center.
Oh, man.
One of the other YouTube channels, True Footy, is a big Eagles fan.
Yeah.
He was the one that was pissed.
Yeah.
I actually, oddly enough, considering, you know, we do AFL content, I don't listen to pretty much any other AFL content apart from ours, right? I watched that video.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it was interesting.
It was very interesting.
And basically, like, what I took from it the most was, when you're a rebuilding team, and West Coast, unlike North, have had the experience, at least in the club, whether they're fit or not, but there's not been a lack of experience during the rebuild. So they didn't need to do this to get Baker, as you're saying. They could have almost definitely got him by other means. So you're trading out of pick three in what promises to be a really good draft to 14. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
so it ended up being a slide of 3 to 12 to get Baker and Owies.
But the always thing,
or something like that. Is that insane? Look, this dude's trying to hold in his he's just like he's gone.
But like what the criticism was like they could have taken Baker. They could have walked into the preseason, couldn't they, with Baker because he's uncontracted, right? Is that the case?
Nah. I don't think so.
But either way,
are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong. I don't know.
Either way, you're right. There had to be a better.
And they lost Barras, dude.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Yeah. Look, the only thing I can say, look, they're going to need that future first so they can attempt to be in the Chad Warner sweepstake. That's the only thing. Like, we have to wait 12 months to figure out whether it was okay or not.
Well, they're going to probably, they'll offer Hawthorn's future first and theirs, which will be a bottom four, top four pick.
Mm.
And then the future picks that they're going to be able to trade. So they'll have the ammo, but. Again, you didn't need to do that to have the ammo. You still would have been bad next year. you didn't need to do the trade.
They're finishing last next year. Well, there's Richmond as well, but
Richmond for sure.
Look, the reliance on still the Yos and the McGoverns to perform to kind of cover the holes that West Coast have is going to be huge.
Yeah, look, I think my only concern, like if I look at the list in 3 or 4 years' time, right? This is from the outside looking in. I think your forward line is covered, right? They got Allen and
Waterman. Yeah.
The rest of the pieces you can figure out. The midfield, right? Harley Reid, Baker and Graham, who are solid.
And Jimby.
They're all solid workman-like type players, tough in and under, can provide a role, right? Apart from, and obviously Harley Reid's the star out of that lot. If you can get Warner in that as well, they've got a decent ruckman in Bailey Williams. He's solid, right? They could probably manage to get another ruckman as well, perhaps, you know, and then maybe Bailey Williams.
Kyle Jerome.
Cale Jerome, perhaps. You know what I mean? That'd be pretty good there. Nice fit. Cale Jerome. Anyway, the only issue is the defense, right? Who's their defense? Like, Barras is gone. You got McGovern. You got, what, Josh Rotham? Like, what do you got?
Tom Cole? Is he?
Tom Cole? No, he's not. No, but key positions. I'm talking about key positions. They got nothing.
They got Brett Hoff.
He's not a key.
He's a lockdown.
Nah. They've got Edwards. Edwards is the other key position-ish dude. I don't know if it's Harry or the other Edwards or Luke. I forget.
Yeah, but suppose they don't get Warner. Like, it's all good and fine preparing to try and get him.
Yeah.
Unless they know more than we do. But like, even if they do get him, there's always going to be the cloud over Harley Reid coming back to Vic. Like, a big team's always going to be chasing him. So Anyway, risky game, definitely an owl right now.
Huge owl. Look, I think the interesting side story with Harley Reid is that I'm quite sure he's in a relationship with Yasmin Dersma, right? Now, I just hope that he's on good terms with brother-in-law, big game Zane.
Hey. You know?
And then maybe, hey.
But doesn't Yasmin Dersma play for the Blues?
Perhaps, but the thing is, look. But the thing is,
like, same facilities.
North's about to win. About to win the women's league, mate, by a country mile. So she might come to North.
So maybe we get Yasmin over to North as well, and then all of a sudden Zane goes, "Hey, man, how cool would it be if all three of us played for North?" Like,
get Xavier, draft Willem next year. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. It's all good. Here's the chance, man. You know. But anyway, we've got a link to Harley Reid now, which is kind of cool. Apart from the fact that we gave him away, you know. But there's another link now with our big game Zane.
There wouldn't have been the link if we had Harley.
True. No, you're right. We would have gone Harley Reid. So now basically this whole win against Gold Coast is so we can get Colby, Zane and Harley in one.
It's like Back to the Future Part 2 or whatever. Yeah. Go back in time to not draft, to not beat Gold Coast so that we can draft Harley. But then we wouldn't have Zane. We wouldn't need Zane to get Harley.
I'm lost with what you said, but like, yeah, I'm sure it was.
It's getting late. Let's finish up, boys.
All right. Bulldogs. L, because Bailey Smith, McRae, and Daniel, good footballers, just poorly managed.
Yep.
And you get a late first, an early second, and Matt Kennedy, who's really solid, but that's trash.
The only thing about those, like Bailey Smith was always going. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they probably counted that in their books ages ago. McRae wasn't really getting game time and Daniel wasn't getting game time. So did they lose?
They got the maximum value from the teams that wanted the players.
Yeah.
100%.
I wouldn't say for Smith, but then he's saying that they had to take a deal.
Well, he was walking. He was one that could walk to the draft. So I think realistically they got the absolute most out of every team they dealt with. So you can say from their point of view, they turned a bad situation good. But I think you're looking at these three players, the mismanagement's the thing that comes out to me, right?
Yeah.
If Bailey Smith hadn't done his ACL this year, this exact thing would have happened. Just the draft capital would have been different.
Because he
always was on the fringes of leaving even before last year.
Because I'm playing him on the wing.
Correct. Daniel, All-Australian... He made an AA when he was a halfback. You've mismanaged him and decided he's not a good distributor off halfback anymore. For what reason? I don't know.
Bailey though, start of the year they were, you know, they were iffy.
They had both doing it when they were winning premiership.
Yeah,
they were both doing it anyway at that time.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Yeah,
you didn't need to go away from that. And McRae, look, I don't know if it's hard to know with him. Has he actually lost the pace or whatever made him be able to tick, or is he still that kind of player? I don't know, but
TBC, I guess.
TBC. Yeah, we'll see. But there's three players here that, like, you're looking at, no other team has lost three players of this caliber.
Nah.
Right? And GWS, probably the closest, but they were forced to just due to opportunity. These are established players.
These are due to AA quality.
Correct.
Players, not just, you know, high-end role players.
Correct. And you know what? Like, it's a credit to them that they got the picks they did, like I said, but ultimately, when players like this are leaving, that says more about the club than the picks you got in. Like, well done, pat on the back. But I can't see, you know, that's not a good result for any team.
I got a slightly different view, I reckon, on McRae and Daniel. Because I think they're towards the end of their career. Is that, maybe I link it a little bit to Carlton in the fact that with even Kennedy, right, these might be valuable players to some other team, but they just don't quite fit in their mold. So they have to go anyway. So by taking some picks for him and moving on, maybe it's just cutting a little bit of what they consider dead wood. And why not?
Yeah, I hear you, but why not then do something like this proactively? If you're thinking at the end of last year, oh, I don't know about Daniel off halfback anymore, ship him off then. Get maximum value. Like, you've devalued your players, and again, well done. You still got decent return for them. But
25 for Daniel ends up being pretty strong, considering how much they did devalue him by playing him as the sub half the time.
Correct, but I can almost guarantee next year when he's halfback for North getting 35 touches every game, everyone's going to be like, man, North did pretty well there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's a good player, right?
And he's going to get that, because if Fisher can get it, he can get it.
Correct, 100%, right?
Yeah.
So
can't wait to pick him.
Yeah.
F1.
F1, mate.
F1.
And again, like you're saying, 100%. But no, you're saying, like, correctly, their roles are different now. They're getting older. But like, they were there as the leaders. Daniel's a vice captain. McRae's been an excellent player for years. Like, they've been the reason of your success. And now the three of them are going, for what? Like, who's replacing? I don't know, man.
Then they've already been replaced, dude.
Yeah, but how did that work out?
I don't know.
Smacked up by the Hawks.
They've been in limbo for years.
Hawks first time on the big stage in years, smacked them up.
Mm.
And what's changing now with these picks coming in?
Yeah, true. Nothing's changing.
You just got to hope Darcy will continue to be a freak. Mm. And they've still got obviously excellent players. So they could well improve next year based on what they've got. But I don't know. No other team that I've seen in recent memory has lost like three elite players like this, barring Richmond. But they're truly rebuilding.
Yeah.
Not a finals team. Mm. I don't know. I give them an L personally.
Yeah. All right. All good. So we've gone through every team now. I don't really think there's much more to really
good go riddance. On, like, that was an annoying trade period, to be honest with you. Like, I'm glad it's over.
Yeah. Well, I quite enjoyed it because it was like, what's Carlton going to do next? But
you guys were active earlier though. See, I was waiting.
We were the only team doing anything, bro.
Man, I messaged Matza. I checked my messenger just then. At 7:25, it's finally when Riley Beveridge gave us the nugget I was waiting for. I had to wait 1.5 weeks for like the last 5 minutes. And I'm watching it all like an idiot. No.
Man, you got a shout out to Riley Beveridge and Cal Toomey. They're like the superheroes or the rock stars of trade pyramid. Man. Everything goes through them, huh?
Every day, Gettable was the only show you needed to watch.
Them and and Tom Morris as well on the Twitter was good.
Yeah,
because I had his notifications on Twitter and I got a lot of news off of Tom Morris. Shout out to him, man. Shout out to him as well.
And then there's some of those reporters that just nothing they say is right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trade whisperer. You know. Who else? Actually, you guys don't know Twitter, so you guys don't even know that reference.
There's the Carlton guy. I forgot his name now. It's just a twat.
Yeah.
He's a twat. I don't know. It's late.
I know. Our language on this episode's been woeful. Look, thank you guys for getting through that episode with us. I don't know what the next episode or the next video is going to be because, maybe draft stuff. Maybe... some more redrafts. Thank you guys for talking with me and
let us know if there's anything draft related. But yeah, Mats is going to do his thing with those re-rankings.
Yeah, and some other stuff as well. We'll see how we go. But thank you guys for watching.
Thank you very much. One.